Our reading this morning was published in 2005 in a meditation manual by the Unitarian Universalist Association. And it's entitled Equidistant or Equidistant by Jean M. Olson. The center of the universe is in this small room where our souls touch the infinite and grace surpasses all understanding. And the center of the universe is in the nest outside the window where the tiny speckled eggs will hatch under the watch of attentive parents. And the center of the universe is held by the young mother in the bus going past as she cradles her newborn in her arms and wonders where her future lies. But the center of the universe is also in the heart of the bomb crater, where bits of bone and chair and cup are all that remain. And the center of the universe is also in the jug of water carried by the small boy walking past the garbage heap where his brothers search for their day's sustenance. And the center of the universe is also in the quivering salmon just caught and eaten by the grizzly bear in the cold Alaskan stream. And the true center of the universe is millions of light years distant from an insignificant solar system in an average galaxy that some call the Milky Way. May the consciousness of the universe that connects all souls comfort and strengthen each one and bring peace and wisdom to every life. There are millions of people of goodwill and peaceful intentions in the world who simply and honestly don't believe in a supernatural supreme being. They don't believe in God, or they don't think it's possible to know if God exists as a distinct being. I know many people with such beliefs in this congregation and other UU congregations. And I know lots of non-theists who don't participate in a congregation, but who put their goodwill to use in other causes and organizations. It's not surprising or shocking for me to realize this. Unfortunately, however, for many people in this country and the world, it's unsettling, very unsettling, to consider that atheists live and move among us. Greg Epstein is the author of the best-selling book, Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. Since 2005, Epstein has served the campus community of Harvard University as its humanist chaplain. Since 2018, he's also had the job of humanist chaplain at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, also in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He has a graduate degree in religion and another in Jewish studies, and his cultural heritage is Jewish. For the past century, many people have adopted the term humanism to describe their life stance. Humanists are people trying to be ethical, trying to live by the values of honesty, compassion, freedom, personal responsibility, and participation in the common good. At the same time, most humanists don't believe in a supernatural supreme being or in a future life after we die. They also don't accept a supernatural origin of any religious texts or rituals. They see all religions not as God-given realities, but as human creations to serve human longings. Epstein estimates there are from 500 million people to 1 billion people around the world who don't believe in God. In human history, there have always been non-believers in all parts of the world as humanitarians, philosophers, I should say secular people have played important roles in the world. Secular humanitarians, philosophers, artists, educators, activists, leaders of movements, scientists, inventors, and of course, the primary role of loving parents rearing their children. Surveys indicate that 15% of the U.S. population identify as non-religious, and their share of the population has been growing. Can you be good without God? Epstein says this is not a question to answer. No, he says, the question needs to be rejected outright. To suggest that one can't be good without belief in God is not just an opinion or a curiosity, it is a prejudice. For useful conversations, he says, we should ask, why do we strive to be good and to do good? Why? His answer is that our motivations include empathy, fairness, compassion, and a sense of human dignity. All of these are human capacities. When we use them, we live a good life. Humility is also a motivation. We can be stirred into humility when we consider the mysteries of the universe. We can be humbled when we feel reverence before the wonders of nature. Other motivations to do good things include our gratitude. Gratitude for this world, for the people around us, for any good fortune, and for just being alive. These human capacities are why we are called to be good and why we feel that life is good. In defending the virtue of non-theists, Epstein says, would you ever ask, is it possible to be a good person if you're Muslim, or Buddhist, or Jewish, or Christian? Unfortunately, some people do ask such questions. Since prejudice persists and many people still ask, can you be good without God? I do want to answer the question. Yes, you can be good. Many people are. I grew up in a time and in a town where hearing that someone was an atheist could be troubling for many people, or at least material for eyebrow-raising gossip. And since non-theists weren't comfortable being open about their non-belief, they stayed in the closet with it, so to speak. As a result, we all presumed there were many fewer agnostics and atheists than there were. Certainly not here. Certainly not in my family. Such denial allowed prejudice to fester, allowed the false notion to persist that atheists were not worthy of respect or trust. In the Soviet Union and China, atheism was imposed on the people as the ideology of the state. Religious people were pushed underground or persecuted in those countries. Some groups still are persecuted for beliefs that the state doesn't like, such as Muslims in both China and parts of the former Soviet Union. In the 1950s, during the early years of the Cold War, some U.S. religious leaders and politicians wanted to make explicit how different this country was from communist countries. So they led a movement to alter the Pledge of Allegiance. A new phrase was added. So now it says, one nation under God. In other words, they wanted the pledge to demonstrate and to say, we are not like those atheists. Yet that added phrase in the Pledge of Allegiance is wrong. This is a nation under a constitution. Social scientists say that Scandinavian countries have some of the lowest levels of religious belief and religious identity in the world. Are Scandinavian countries full of selfish, mean, murderous, or dishonest people? During my airport layovers last July in two Scandinavian cities, they seemed okay. But what can you tell from an airport? Better to look at statistical studies, which show that most of those non-religious countries in Scandinavia rank as among the least violent, best educated, and most likely to care for the poor. Part of the prejudice against non-theists is the assumption that life must be easier without any commandments to follow. You can get away with so much without any divine standards to be judged by. Well, just look at how many Christians in the public eye break the commandments against adultery and stealing. It amazes me, but the current president somehow gets identified as Christian. Yet he lies and slanders other people constantly. He's breaking the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." No, it's not easier for atheists. We must acknowledge that living an ethical and good life is a challenge for everyone. Epstein says, "To live according to our values takes hard work and 100 hard choices every day." Humanists and atheists value science and the scientific method. It's worth noting that many liberal, moderate, and mainstream religious people also value science and reason. The global Catholic Church, for one, accepts evidence-based theories about human evolution and the geological age of this planet. A diverse number of religious leaders take as established facts the reality of global warming and climate chaos. Yet science-inclined atheists are not prepared to take a leap of faith toward God. They don't believe in God because they see no proof. To be sure, they know that many others do testify to their experience of the reality of God. This may be powerful to hear, but humanists want evidence that can be verified in a repeatable experiment. Yet there is one belief that calls for a leap of faith by any humanist, and that is the humanist affirmation of the worth, dignity, and potential of human beings. Josh Whedon is a film director and screenplay writer in his 50s. He's known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, the popular TV series. Whedon is also an outspoken atheistic humanist. He has said, "The enemy of humanism is not faith. The enemy of humanism is hate. It is fear. It is ignorance. It is the darker part of human nature which is in every humanist and every person in the world." But faith, he says, is something we have to embrace. Faith in God means believing in something with no proof whatsoever. In contrast, faith in humanity, which humanists profess, means believing in something with a huge amount of proof to the contrary. Thus, Whedon says, we humanists are the true believers. Even though humanists are happy to live life with a non-theistic or agnostic outlook, many humanists are not comfortable thinking of themselves as having a spirituality. "I'm just not spiritual," some will say, even saying it to the ministers of their UU congregation. I think it depends on what you consider to be spiritual. The late William R. Murray was a Unitarian Universalist minister and a humanist. He served UU congregations and then was president of our UU Theological Seminary in Chicago. In his book, Reason and Reverence, Murray writes, "Life is a spiritual journey, and we are always on it, whether we recognize it or not. Spirituality is not a new concept. It is an old word with new meanings for today, meanings that humanists as well as others can value. Spirituality is the result of living in deeper, more meaningful, and more loving ways, and living with devotion to causes greater than oneself." Even if we might be comfortable not believing in the divine, we must still ask ourselves, what gives meaning to life? Epstein writes, "Disbelief alone cannot meet our deepest needs for human connection and inspiration. One purpose of his book is to show non-theistic people the opportunities to participate in spiritually meaningful but non-theistic rituals and practices. These include activities which most people have thought of as the possession only of theistic religions. Such activities include ceremonies for the life cycle, a blessing for a new child, a wedding, a memorial service, a house blessing, a moment of thanks at mealtime. They include serving the larger community, practicing generosity, making music, appreciating the visual arts. They include listening without interruption to invite others to share from the heart. They include sacrificing things you value to benefit the common good, like some of your money, your time, and your comfort. While many kinds of spiritual practice are expressed in the language of belief in a supreme being, the needs they address are deeper than any belief system or faith tradition. Epstein invites us to consider the act of prayer. The impulse that leads to prayer is a human survival mechanism. Epstein says, one of the first things we learn to do as infants is to cry out to those seemingly omnipotent beings surrounding us. We cry out our needs and longings for food, warmth, comfort. Adult human beings have created things like prayer because the child inside, crying out against uncertainty and fear, never entirely leaves us. In these troubling times, of course, many of us cry out for peace. We cry out for honesty and integrity in government, for decency and respect among all people. We cry out for mercy and compassion for those who are vulnerable in this country and on the other side of the border. In these troubling times, we ask for courage for the living of our days. In all times, of course, we wish for the health and healing of our loved ones, for safe journeys and lives of joy and purpose. Human beings have motives and reasons to pray, whether or not we believe a deity has the power to respond or even to hear us. In one of his examples for a humanist prayer practice, Epstein suggests sitting down quietly each day, alone or with others, and focusing on what is good for you without God. That certainly works for many folks in our UU congregations. Yet for others among us, using a divine metaphor is helpful, like invoking the blessed spirit of my life, or acknowledging the God of our heart stirring within. Neither names nor metaphors are requirements, however. The important part is taking a moment for noticing, reflecting, discerning, appreciating, and giving thanks. A moment for opening to a new way for us to be in the world. A moment of inviting a better way of responding to the stress around us. A moment of asking for courage. For me, one purpose of speaking of God, one reason for opening to the divine spirit in a practice of prayer, is that it reminds me that I am not God. The world does not revolve around me or my agendas or my opinions or my certainty about how things really should be. This recognition, this reminder, is a proven way to promote emotional health. To remember, I am not God. The Quaker teacher and spiritual guide Parker Palmer said this, Spirituality is the eternal longing to be connected to something larger than your own ego. Greg Epstein, the humanist chaplain, used to sing with a rock band. When he quit, he announced he was going to enter graduate study in religion. A disappointed fan couldn't understand why. They said, "Music is religion. Why would he need to leave it to do religious work?" Epstein affirms, "Yes, music does provide inspiration to all kinds of people. But," he says, "the problem with the idea of music as a secular religion is that a concert is not a community." Of course, music can provide moments of togetherness, but a musical event is not an ongoing, sustained community. Humanist values assert that participation in community is the essence of what it means to be human. Whether we are theistic or not, we cannot experience the fullness of life if we are isolated from other people. The Christian writer Alistair McGrath has written, "People want to belong, not just believe. Identity is about belonging somewhere." This is why so many of us here are motivated and happy to put our time, talents, and support into the mission and ministries of this congregation. Participation in a community of shared values, in an ongoing and sustained community, that can meet what Epstein identifies as our common human needs for shared rituals and a sense of community and belonging. As Epstein says, the question is not, can we be good with or without God? He says the question is, how can we be good together? Given the diversity of beliefs among religious and secular people around the world, we must find ways not only to coexist in peace, but ways to collaborate in making our communities better. Given the size and impact of the human population on the globe right now, we must find ways to cooperate. As he says, to live according to our values takes hard work and 100 hard choices every day. This is why connecting with others is crucial. Life is a spiritual journey, and we are always on it, whether we recognize it or not. Let us recognize what a blessing it is to have companions on the journey. May our journeys be safe, if not always comfortable ones. May we have courage. On the journey, may we find ways to give and receive, to give help and to receive help. Let us travel in peace, travel with wonder, travel with love. Let us travel together with open minds, open hearts, and helping hands. So may it be. Blessed be. Amen.